This is Josh.
This is Mandy, and you're listening to the Oregon Transition Podcast.
Brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, and partners across the state.
From rural to urban, from your living room to your classroom, from your community to your employer, we are here to tell the stories that shift the perception of what is impossible to possible through inspiration, education, and community connection.
Oregon, this is your story. Welcome to the Oregon Transition Podcast, Season 5.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the Oregon Transition Podcast Live. Oh, my gosh. This is a dream come true. Oh, I don't even know what to do.
Well, hi, Josh.
Hi, baby.
Are you excited to be here?
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled.
First off, I just have to admit, we have so many more people than I thought we were going to have. I was like, we're going to have two. We're not maybe three. This is exciting.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. This is fantastic.
Yes. So how's the conference feeling to you?
The conference has been great. I was at the social last night. It was the biggest social that I remember being at Oregon Transition Conference at a place like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. And you were doing a lot of questions, lots of trivia.
Lots of trivia.
And how did that go?
It went pretty good. Well, it went well. Sorry, I'm more ahead of that. It went well.
Awesome. And then, have you been able to attend any sessions?
I attended a session with Chris Rita and Helen Lindsay on IEP, which was about personal wellness, which is good. I need to work on my work-life balance a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's something we all need to work on, right?
How's your conference going?
Well, my conference is going well. I have to admit, I've been sitting in front of the presenter table welcoming presenters, but I did have a chance to help support an incredible session about taking remote schools doing transition programs, and it was amazing.
Fantastic. So what we're going to do today, today's episode, we want to feature guests, and we're going to interview guests, and we're going to tell their stories. So first up, we'd like to welcome, from Eugene, Oregon, Maya Nair. Thank you, Maya, and we are happy to have you. Now Maya is a student at the Connections program in Eugene. Okay, she graduated from Sheldon. And Maya, what we would like to talk to you about is your goals and what your goals are. And Maya has a phenomenal story. So we'd like to start off by asking you about your goals. So when you were in high school, what were your goals after high school?
My goal was to either continue on the community living program or Connections and take some non-credit classes at my community college.
Amazing. So, Maya, how did your high school support your goal? What classes, work experience did you take to help reach your goal? And how did your school support staff support you?
I took general ed classes and Transition Education Network 10 classes at Sheldon. I was also part of leadership, National Honor Society, and Asian Student Union. Last year, I took part in Mr. and Miss Irish pageant, and I won the Miss Congeniality Award. I was a work-study employee for the TAN program and was selected to do a speech for my graduation. The teachers and educational assistants advocated for me and helped me to be who I am today.
So, Maya, when I first met you, we met because where you go to at Connections, where the Connections classroom is actually right next to the mayor's office in Eugene. And then I found out that not only do you have this close proximity to the mayor of Eugene, you're also on the youth advisory board for the city. So you serve on the youth advisory board, and you're on the accessibility subcommittee. Can you share about the Youth Advisory Board?
I am on the Accessibility Subcommittee. We worked on making sure resources are more available to everyone who needs them. Not everyone is aware of all the resources. Luckily, my parents were both able to figure it out. I met with Carly Smith, who works for Adaptive Recreation, and went to a barbecue with people from Mobility International. It was fun to hang out with the exchange students.
Maya, I was wondering, how did you get involved with the advisory board?
I came to know about it in a leadership class at Sheldon. I had to fill out an application and had to get a recommendation letter. We asked my physical therapist, Raylan, to write a recommendation letter. She wrote an amazing recommendation letter. Then I had an interview with Zoom with LeBaire and another person. Finally, I received an email on Thanksgiving morning of 2020 saying that I was selected.
That is fantastic. It is amazing having you on the subcommittee, and you know, it's awesome to know that you're making a lot of positive changes. You're now in Connections, and Connections is the Eugene Forte School District services for students who are 18 and 21. What's Connections like? How is Connections helping you reach your goals?
Connections is very laid back. They have helped me get connected with Josh Barton and his team so that I can start the pre-ed process right now itself.
Ooh, speaking of pre-ed, so those pre-employment transition services, you submitted a request for pre-ed. What do you hope to gain from pre-ed?
I hope to learn more about starting a family business and possibly employ other people with disabilities to help me do the physical things I am unable to do. I am also interested in other employment opportunities.
That's fantastic. And so learning more about becoming your own employer and being able to employ other people is pretty special. So when you think about it, what are your future goals?
My future goals is to run a business.
That's awesome. Thank you, Maya. That is fantastic. So we also have, this is a little bit of This Is Your Life here, because we also have CJ Webb here, who is providing you pre-ed. Is it okay if we invite CJ Webb up? CJ, come on down. Everybody get CJ on the call. How you're supporting Maya's goals in pre-ed.
Well, Maya is super fun to work with, first of all, and she told me a lot about the business she wants to start, how she wants it to happen, and we're just slowly working on the plan to start moving forward and working with possibly going to VR, but whenever she's ready to do that. And I think one of my favorite things about working with Maya is we laugh quite a bit. It's hilarious. So if you don't have fun while you're providing pre-eds or receiving pre-eds or doing anything, it's just not as much fun.
What are some of those pre-eds that you can deliver out of the five categories?
We're doing a little bit of job exploration, but also a little bit of post-secondary. He's not sure exactly what the type of business will she be, something else. So those are the both. Self-advocacy is really not an issue for Maya, so I'm not working on that one. We'll see about workplace readiness. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet.
So we're at the beginning of the journey.
Yes.
I would like to thank Maya for being a guest on the first ever live Oregon Transition podcast. It's pretty impressive that we have the supports in place to help Maya figure out what she wants to do.
Absolutely. When we're talking about building your own business, working with people with disabilities, that's some really great education that we're going to be excited to hear, Maya, where you go. Will you keep us updated?
Thank you so much, Maya. We are going to, Maya's going to answer that question, and while she does, we are going to bring up our next guest. So can you please welcome Sebastian McBurney. so much for being here. So Sebastian, you can you just introduce yourself, share where you work, and where you go to school?
Hi, my name is Sebastian Bunny, and I work for Albertson Alpine First in high school for 7 months. Now I am a courtesy cook meal, and I work for the UFO Confession for 4 years now. And in 2019, my sister was saw the airport on Facebook, and I thought I wanted to do it, so I asked if I could do it. And for Alberson, 7 months ago, Wanda came up to me saying they have a job sale going on, and I always wanted to go there, so we show up to the job sale and get the paperwork.
That's awesome. You are doing a lot of things, Sebastian. Okay, so I have a question.
Go for it. I was just going to say, you mentioned Rhonda. That's Rhonda Colson. She's right there. Give her a round of applause. Rhonda has a youth transition specialist at Springfield School District, and it sounds like she helped you get your job. We're going to have Maya answer the question you answered earlier, and then we got more questions from you.
I'm going to ask you that question again, Maya. Maya, would you be able to keep us updated about how long your everything goes?
Yes, I will keep in touch with you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Okay, as I was saying, Sebastian, you are doing a lot of things. So, where is your motivation and energy coming from? Why are you doing all this fun stuff now?
Probably because I realize you need money to achieve your life.
So you're hoping to make a lot of money and you're working two jobs. What do you hope to do with that money?
In a couple of months, I plan to find myself a car and for my long-term goal. It's like in 10 or 15 years I want to buy a big piece of land and build a apartment complex. And when those out for cheaper, so people can afford it.
Awesome.
That is fantastic. Wait, how old are you, did you say?
20.
Wow, when I was 20, I can't tell you what I was going to do if I had that money. Those are really mature goals. That's fantastic.
Okay, I have to ask, what is your dream car? You said a car.
My dream car is that Tesla, so I can save on gas.
That is very practical.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Sebastian, as your journey continues and as you are working at Albertsons and working at the PK Park, which is a local baseball stadium in Eugene, and you do concessions for the Ducks and the Eugene Emeralds, who's supporting you?
Supporting me mostly my family and Wanda and Sally at the transition program. My gone to also help me out.
Awesome. So now I'm wondering, how did you get that job? And then you also mentioned Albertsons, so I'm going to ask you about both of those. How did you get those jobs?
Well, for PK, in 2019, my sister saw an ad for it, so, and she told me about it, so I asked if I can apply to, and my mom helped me support me with that, and that's how I got that job. And for Albertson, wanted to make a job there going on there, and I always wanted to work there. So we went and did that job there and failed out the paperwork and couple of days later I got the interview and that and a couple hours later I got the call back saying I am hired.
So you're at BK Park and you're at Albertsons. What are your future goals? Do you are those jobs that you want to continue or do you want to eventually have a different job?
I still want to work at the Albertsons and probably move up the apartment.
That's great. That's great. And I'm sure you're there 7 months. I'm sure you're making an amazing impression. That's fantastic.
I wonder, what is your favorite thing about Albertsons?
My favorite thing about Albertsons is helping people that work and going to make them hard.
So being able to help people out.
Yeah.
And the last question we have for you is, do you have a funny story about anything that's happened on the job?
I would say that funny thing is a couple weeks ago at Albertsons. This is late at night, and someone went in the customer bathroom and walked some face ice in there, and I have to clean that up. And after that, they started to walk customer bathroom at 8 or 9.
So you learned how to deal with some pretty challenging situations. And learn to how to handle that with some grace and be really flexible.
I have one final question. I know we said we're going to ask, do you have any advice for any students your age?
I would say my advice is to don't spend all your money on everything you want. think about this, think what you actually need. The worth of your money and savings.
Again, so great pleasure for joining us. So, I would like to thank you and Maya for being guests on Oregon Transition Podcast Live. You both were fantastic. Okay, and to hear more of Sebastian's story, he's actually the featured student in next month's Oregon Transition newsletter. And it's a monthly email that comes out. I don't know how to subscribe to it, but I'm on it. It just magically shows up in my inbox.
Maybe should they just email you and then you could just forward it?
Sure, I would be happy. That's my email is So thank you both. Okay, you guys, you both have a seat.
Oh, this is the best time ever. This is the highlight of my day.
So, it's the idea, the goal of the podcast is to share stories of students and how folks are how they're being supported through transition services, how they are reaching their goals, how what motivates them, okay, and it was awesome to interview two very motivated individuals. So we're just going to do a quick commercial break so we can reset the set for our final guests. So finally, Mandy, we can start with you. We've been hearing a lot about CTE.
We sure have.
It seems to be something that we are talking about a lot in our network, and what's CTE stand for?
Well, I'm going to guess here, and I'm thinking it's career technical education.
Career technical education. So we wanted to talk about how career technical education intersects with special education. So I'd like to invite Joel Abbott and Rebecca Gergy and Hugh Meany up to the
share this with them. It's going to be great.
Can you all start by just introducing yourself and your role?
Sure thing. Hey, I'm Joel Lavin. I'm a student services administrator in Eugene School District 4J. I help support our high schools across the district as well as our 18 to 21 transition programs.
I'm Peter Levy. I am a teacher at 4J High Schools. I teach CT instruction as well as mathematics and other
trusts. And I'm Greg Kirby. I am a special educator for South Eugene High School.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Okay. I know we said what CT, but I'm going to ask that question again. What is CT and what are the benefits of CT?
So you're right. CTE is Career and Technical Education. The mindset and the overarching goal of CTE, the way that we're looking at it, is really a partnership with industry, a partnership with community. So in my case, I'm teaching construction ed. We are working with local contractors, also with a couple of local agencies providing transitional housing for the houseless. And using that as sort of the framework to teach life skills, job skills, and also provide our graduates with a direct connection to a career that can lead to family, wage, supporting jobs, with the option or to go or not go to college.
Awesome.
Thank you. Peter, you're building 90 houses, is that correct?
Not exactly, because tiny houses to me brings up the idea of, you know, self-sustained little houses for like somebody's Airbnb or APU or what have you. One of the projects I'm working on is a local agency called Square One Villages. It is a 8x12 room with a 4x8 deck on it. It is insulated, it has electricity. We are building a bed and a desk and a closet into it. And so it looks like a very nice shed, but it's designed for one or possibly two people to live in it as they transition out of perhaps living on the street or in a tent. And Square One also does provide services and support to help them connect with jobs and future housing. What we're building with the high school students is very straightforward. It's a nice stick frame house with electricity to build plumbing. Because this gets hauled to a village where many other of these units have been built, and they have a common building with, you know, kitchens and showers and what have you. If you're in the Eugene area, you may have seen these things look like cobblestone wagons. What we're building is structurally a step up from that. We're trying to provide a little more, basically a locking door where people can feel safe, where the things can be safe when they go over and run over to their bed.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to add that in our district, we have a variety of career technical education programs. So the program that Peter Weeby works in is Future Build, which is focused on construction skills. But we also have a health services program, we have a forestry program, we have business CTE, we have fine arts and graphic design CTE programs, and many, many more. So there's lots of varieties that match students' interests.
Amazing. This is great. Okay, so how does CTE and special education?
A lot of the students are considering whether or not they want to go to a community college nearby or considering options, and there's often direct connections to community college that are associated with the CTE courses that are offered in our community. And so it gives sort of a bridge to some of those post-secondary options. And it also is really valuable for these students to experiment with some of the ideas that they have about what they want to do after high school. And it's like a sandbox, in a way, for their career. So that's the way we see it in special education, too.
It seems to me, just hearing your response, I think about our keynote this morning, where what did Brad Butler say? Something like, you don't know when you don't know that you don't know, right? And you had this opportunity for students to explore and figure out a skill or something that they might not know they ever had before.
And are there any barriers? And how do you address those barriers? Can you give like examples of some of the barriers we have? It would be nice if Peter could talk about when he comes back.
slide.
What are the strengths that we have in South Asian
high school? It's not a point. Because we have other areas, and it's with this collaborative effort with our students and our families, our case managers, just all of the members of the team, not just the teachers, to work with our kids. And you know, one of the successes that I'm seeing is some of the kids who have major impediments to their learning have some of the highest performance rates in my class. They really want to be there. So in the case of my program, I didn't say this earlier, but I think it's worth noting, it is not a program for one high school. We draw from all of the 4J high schools. For all of the high schools in my district, a student who wants to be part of the program has that opportunity. And that's what we really want to build in eventually our forestry, our other CTE programs. We want many of them to be available across campuses. So one of the barriers, of course, is you live in the North region, how do you get to the LCC or how do you get to the Shelby campus or what have you? So at the moment, you know, we are providing buses. And because it eats into the lunchtime, we're providing sandwiches, which the kids are very grateful for in September, and they're so tired of it. So, you know, it's mostly we just try to find the resources to meet those barriers and adjust them.
Thank you, and it's I think hearing that being a part of Future Build and other CTE programs and keeping kids in school is so important. And making them finding a place, like it's there's so many different kinds of learners out there, and helping students learn how to build in an authentic environment is really important. What kind of when you're looking at CTE and what one of the roles of our job is helping silos come down so that people are sharing information to each other. How does a CTE program in special education share information about their students?
That communication with our students and with the case managers, if we're talking about our special ed students or students with identified plans, is just critical. And on top of that, in my particular case, since I'm on an independent campus with another teacher way across town or at a build site where my students are actually building a house, I used to have the luxury of walking downstairs to Rebecca's classroom and say, hey, can you help me out? You know, I'm struggling here with a student, not necessarily even one of her students. And so I don't have that luxury, and never call up the school teacher or this one, I don't know where they're from. So email becomes this sort of inefficient way, and yet it's critical that I can reach out via email to any of the teachers or case managers or assistant principals, or principals in the CIMA, for that support and for that help. But it does mean we have to consider the timeline. You know, it is asynchronous and based communication.
That's amazing. It sounds like a very individualized process depending on what the student needs, what the MVP is, all the teachers, but a whole lot of things. And I have that same sort of question when it comes to outside resources. So is there a connection between CTE providers and Voc Rehab, for instance? Voc Rehab?
So in our district, we have YKP specialists that work in our schools. There's generally one YKP specialist that works in each school. So those folks are the connection to our vocational rehabilitation supports. And so when we are beginning our processes of helping students explore their things and go through assessments with their case managers, some of those students are identified as needing some of that support from a YKP specialist. And if one of the CTE strands sort of pops up as one of those areas of interest, then those YKP specialists run with it, and they can help us connect with the key folks in the schools program we're looking at, or in the centralized program such as FutureBuild, which is sort of a newer model that we have in our district. And so that's one of the ways we help students get connected is this point.
And then our last question is, and thank you so much for being here. I feel like I've learned a lot about the intersection between CTE and special education. What is UG4J's district's
future plans surrounding CTE and or special ed?
Let me tell you what tech is just for the tech.
So, starting with FutureBuild, but I want to talk a little bit about a larger thing. FutureBuild is almost brand new. I am teaching in its second year. This year we had 28 students. Last year was piloted by a colleague of our of Rex and my lead, who had 7 students. And so we started with 7, and it sort of said, okay, we're going to work this out with the 7 kids and get started working with a local contractor and learn enough to say, oh, we're going to hire a new teacher, and we're going to expand this to be you know, a whole afternoon at LCC and at a job site. And then ideally, you know, we will double in size next year. We will hopefully have some more staff and be able to say, hey, we want twice as many students coming in. The plan, the dream that I have is for FutureBuild itself to be, you know, a multi-year or two-year program. On top of that, we have other CTE programs that want to grow into this multi-campus idea. And again, the idea of starting small and expanding. So the district has proposed, it's with the school board, it's called the Center for Applied Learning. That's more to it after that. But it follows, FutureBuild is the first program of that, and we're hoping to see many more come in, working in forestry, in culinary, in manufacturing, in whatever partnerships we can find with the community.
Yes, so one of the common CTE programs that's planned very soon is a creative arts program that's going to work as a sort of an inside shop for the district to build graphic design for the district, you know, websites, social media, etc. So students will be involved in that as well. And I just want to say one other thing. You know, one thing that we also want to do over time is not only expand the programs, but expand the proportionality of students experiencing disability into more of the programs in our CTE across the district. So right now, I don't have any specific data to share in the podcast, but I will say that we do lean heavily on certain programs, and I think one of our future goals is to make sure that we have any student that wants to be in a health services program will be in a health services program. Any student that wants to fly a drone is going to fly a drone.
That's a great response.
So much, and on that note, it's just what we do with schools is we're providing access for students. We're helping students discover their talents that they never knew exist, and we're connecting them to a positive future. So thank you very much for the work that you're doing and being on our podcast this afternoon. This is awesome. Yeah, let's get Jody and Lana. All right, thank you all for being here.
That's all me. So, Oregon Transition Podcast. I'm recently new to the team, kind of sit in the back a little bit for now, but creating our mission last August together, the four of us, and planning our year out. The Oregon Transition Podcast establishes that our mission is telling stories that shift the perception of what is impossible to possible through inspiration, education, and community connection, which was very evident today. And we adopting a new rule when we are creating our podcast episodes. Nothing gets done without a student or field example. Today was exactly what our dream has been, and that it's live. Didn't hear already, Lon is the pod father, OG of the OTP. You want to say anything before I take the mic again?
Don't ask me to say something I always will. When we started this podcast, we have tried a lot of new formulas and formats, keeping it fresh every year. But what Jody just read to you is near and dear to all our hearts. Is this one thing to tell you about what you should see and do in your transition community? But it's a different thing to demonstrate to you, like today, what's happening in transition in our community. and that's really what it's all about. And we also want to put music behind it, and that's humor, make it digestible and fun. And we have a really good feedback and report from a lot of people. So we appreciate you here today, and we're thankful to give you a lot of our jobs.
We basically have customized our own job, which is awesome.
So while we have a live captive audience, we also wanted to take the opportunity to, this is since it is our first live Oregon Transition podcast recording, we wanted to honor our two interviewers, our Josh and Mandy, as opposed to our Kelly and Regis, Kelly and Ryan now. It's now the Josh and Mandy show. First, we'd like to honor you, Josh, with the 2023 Oregon Transition Podcast of the Year Oregon Transition Podcast Award. Relentless yet hilarious jokes, your candor and creativity, and your genuine and honest dedication to the podcast.
Thank you.
For bringing your wisdom of theater and creativity, but your organization and your authentic vision around how to engage students and young adults in the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, speech.
I don't think I can say anything more that has already been said. Do you want to say something?
I don't think we can do this without Vaughn and Joey. I mean, yeah. Seriously, the four of us get together and talk and talk and talk. And so I think that these words should be in our backpack. Honestly, you both have made this. Joey, you have brought a whole exciting world. Mom, you brought the history of podcasting, and both of you have brought the history of events and the history of certain schools. And so, without you, we would not be doing this podcast.
So, thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you for the right question for any girl. We'll see you at the banquet
tonight.
Peace out, Frog People, and be well.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, with the support from Vocational Rehabilitation and Oregon Department of Education.
All views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the individual, not the supporting agencies.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is produced by
Mandy Younger,
Josh Barber,
Jody Johnson,
and the Podfather,
Lon Thornburg.
Additional interviews are brought to you by the members of the TTAN.
Our theme music was composed by former student Boone Richter out of Brownsville, Oregon.
Additional music provided by Lon Thornburg.
For additional questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at OregonTransitionPodcast@gmail.com.
For the latest OTP news, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks so much for taking the time and coming today. I really appreciate it, and it means a lot to me.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to seeing you on Monday.